Hello, good evening, and happy Christmas to all of our listeners. Welcome back to the Side Stage with the IVGO. My name is Robert Martin, and I am our music director and host for this evening's podcast. We have a huge group of people with us today as we are celebrating, that's right, Christmas.
Yay!
Yes. So we are going to go down the line. Just quick introductions. Everyone say hi when it gets to your name. Shireen. All right, so starting off with the hats for the night. That is Keith Milligan.
Hi when it gets to your name.
Lovely. Also a regular on our show, we have our lovely Shireen Pereira.
Hey, guys.
And of
did you say it?
And of course, our editor in chief, Lisa McCriskin.
Hello.
And now for our special guests for the evening, we have Molly Campbell.
Hello. How are you, lovely people today?
Yes. Hello, Molly. Welcome. Thomas Whitaker.
Hello there.
And oh God. I'm so happy. And of course, who used to be called Baby Adam, but is no longer a baby, we have our very own Adam Cunningham.
Hi there.
Woo!
Excellent. Welcome, everybody. Hello, hello.
Thank you for having all of us again.
Hey, it's not my show. I just show up and do the thing. Okay, so we are discussing Christmas because this episode is supposed to be out on December 23rd. So let's talk about Christmas memories.
If we make it.
Yeah.
We've only missed a deadline once so far. We're okay.
I'm betting on an Oliver Cromwell Christmas.
Ooh.
Robert, why did you have to out me like that?
The only people who know are our cherished listeners, Keith's mom and dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the only ones who notice.
How and devastated then, were they, Keith?
Honestly, I don't think they even realized it was out. I had to say, ooh, the podcast isn't out, and they said, the whatcast? And then they got beatings.
Dear. What happened?
Wow. I was going to say, your mom told me personally that she enjoys the podcast.
Mother is a liar. I knew this from 23 years of experience of her telling me that she loves me.
Well,
I'm so sorry, Mom.
Happy Christmas.
Somebody is going to get a beating.
Oh, I deserve it.
Someone's getting coal for Christmas.
Coal in your Christmas sack.
And a satsuma.
Lovely. Speaking of our Christmas sacks, let's talk about some cherished game-related Christmas memories. Who would like to go first?
Start with me, because I have the worst one.
All right, Shireen, you're good to go.
Happy Christmas. Well, no, I don't have any funny stories, so I just thought I would share that I enjoy party games a lot during the Christmas season, and maybe the other guests agree with that.
Do you enjoy them too much?
Party. Say again?
Do you enjoy them just a little bit too much? To get a bit
absolutely,
competitive.
Absolutely.
Has the Buckfast hit you? Or not Buckfast? What do you have on Christmas?
Bucks Fizz?
The other one. Bucks Fizz. Two very different drinks.
Imagine just downing Buckfast on Christmas morning. Oh, how depressing would that be?
Depends on your idea of Christmas.
That was a gift to my brothers on Christmas once.
A proper cultured Christmas.
Yeah. So, yeah, I actually, on a side note, I was in a Mario Party tournament one time, and I won.
You won?
Yeah, I won.
Was it 100 turns or 50?
It was at this, like, it was at Arcade Con, which is like a games convention down here.
Okay.
And I think it was just like, I think, yeah, it was a different, like, mood, but I you know, I'm very proud of it even today. But, yeah, so Mario Party's a big one. Also, this very obscure game called Boom Street.
Yeah, okay. I can accept your obscure comments.
But, yeah, that for me is definitely brings out the Christmas atmosphere, personally.
See, I think for me, it's like the actual video games don't play as much of a role at Christmas time. It's card games. So yeah, you crack out the Monopoly, you crack out Uno, all the things that make families fall apart. That's Christmas.
Yeah,
so like
last year,
I got Mario Party 8, I think is the newest one. And I think the only people who've actually played it are my little 3-year-old cousins. Because none of my family ever wanted to play it around Christmas time. They were like, why would we play that when we could play Uno?
I mean, Uno's a great game. Like,
yeah.
How many followers have all started over Uno?
You know, there's a sequel called Dose.
I have seen that. I have seen that. I don't.
No, there actually is. Like, it's not a joke.
I know, but it sounds like it is.
Did you play it, Thomas?
I have not. I've only seen pictures of it, and I'm like, what are you going to change from the like key Uno formula that you can't just do an Uno? Like, how do you do a sequel to a game that's
you
essentially
jacked?
I have no context for what's happening. What do you mean? There's a sequel to Uno?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like instead of one card at the end, you get two cards.
Wow.
Oh.
Stepping it up.
Right.
But why
still,
would you...
I'm still
you
not 100% convinced.
You can't
like
do that.
But you could just play Jack Change It.
You can't do that in Uno because it says Uno on the back. So you have to play DOS to finish the two cards.
Okay.
I'm still not convinced this isn't just like a massive joke that you two have planned beforehand.
Yes.
Like, yes, I will bring up the game Dose. And you will back me up on it. And everyone else will be confused.
So, apparently, DOS
our listeners are Googling.
Yeah, I'm just Googled it. DOS is Uno with two piles of cards rather than just one.
So it's a way for them to make more
just
money
play
at
two
Christmas.
Packets of Uno.
You just play two games of Uno at once.
Just use a normal pack of cards and play Jack Change It. It's exactly the same game.
Yes, anyway, but it doesn't have bright and flashy colors.
Back to video games.
So yeah, back to Shireen.
Troll Christmas present. No, that's it from me. Please continue.
Short and sweet.
See, I don't think I have like many specific memories of like games at Christmas because most of my games consoles I got at my birthday rather than at Christmas.
Yeah, I'm the
but
same.
But the one I do remember getting at Christmas, May. Oh. So it's
yeah. I was gonna say try having a birthday in December on the 19th, 6 days before Christmas.
Yeah, I've been the opposite of that. It's like nearly as far away as you can get.
That must be a wild week.
Oh, it's the best week of my life. Honestly, every week. I will say thank you to my parents and my brother who do not always lump presents together and say, you have one present because your birthday and Christmas are happening. It's usually like, here's a present and the other half of it is coming at Christmas. So that's kind of how my memories of Christmas go.
Yeah, like, see, because the first console that I really got as a Christmas present was a PlayStation 3.
Right.
Being the first sort of console I had that was properly connected to the internet, I just remember it was game updates, which is always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss the days with PlayStation 2 when you got a game for Christmas and you could just pop it straight in and then away you go. It was great.
Best.
I think the only console that kind of does that now is Nintendo Switch because the updates are like done in 2 minutes flat max.
That depends how long you neglect your Animal Crossing Island for.
oh no my pumpkins.
Mine is definitely a jungle. It's definitely a jungle by now.
See, this is where you just need to play Stardew Valley and then that way you don't need to worry about it.
Yes, Molly, this is why I always bring it up when they talk about Animal Crossing.
Stardew Valley,
okay,
it's just better.
Episode 3, we're not going back to this.
Have you just a side note, do you know that there's like cockroaches in the house if you haven't been in your own house for like
I thought you meant in real life there for a second.
Yeah, I think it does.
Well, maybe that also, but for Animal Crossing it's like, yeah, it's not positive.
Okay.
I enjoy running
so
with
anyway,
them and then
I'm
the weird
talk about
away.
What
the cockroach like in Animal Crossing, I have to like really say it's not real life. But you run over the cockroaches and the ghosts of them just go, and it makes me happy because it fills up the psychopath inside me.
Yeah, I would believe that.
Happy Christmas.
Yeah,
happy Christmas. Ding dong merrily on high.
Can we just put Scrooge over his face from now on?
Like, oh, yes, hold on. I can get that.
The first action.
Well, keep the switching hats.
Ready for every occasion.
There we go.
Brilliant. Oh, beautiful.
Perfect timing. Couldn't be planned.
Oh, Lord.
Any better.
So, Lisa, tell us about you getting a GameCube for Christmas.
Yeah, okay. So, it was probably a couple of years after it came out because I always got game consoles like a year or so later than they originally came out because my brother always got them the year they came out and I just always played his instead of getting my own. Until the GameCube, because he got really annoyed at me for constantly just sneaking into his room and playing his consoles and his games all the time. So he was like, somebody get her a GameCube for Christmas. So to distinguish between the two of them, his was the purple one and mine was the black one. That meant, you know, if we ever took them out of the house, like you could do, because they had handles apparently.
The good old days?
Yeah.
Portable consoles? Who
I know, but it was like, which one belongs to who? Oh, I know, they're different colours. But the year I got that, and I've talked about this before, was the year I got Wind Waker. And that was like childhood redefining. It was like, we talked about it in a previous podcast, but it was like the Wind Waker was like the Zelda game that I finished and loved the whole way through, loved the mechanics, loved the whole thing. The game that went alongside that, now it did come out in a console before this, was Sonic Adventure 2, the Battle Edition. Not the first one that came out on Dreamcast. That game sticks with me to this day because I'm pretty sure I still know every single word to Live and Learn. From the end of the game, I think I know every word to that song.
Oh my god, that was such a good game.
You know what? Regardless of what people say about like Sonic games in general, that generation of Sonic games, they didn't age well. But they're still solid games. Like, they still play. Like, they're still fun to play. And I remember spending a lot of time playing that over and over again and trying to get, because the ranked levels up to, like, A's and S's and trying to get them all as high as I could. Never could do it on the Knuckles levels. Ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people can probably agree with that if they're used to playing that game because it was horrendous trying to find those in under 2 minutes, trying to find all the pieces of the Master Emerald. Yeah, it just never happened because they weren't in the same place every time because they're trying to keep the game fresh. I didn't want it to be fresh. I wanted to have 100% S run. Nope, wasn't happening. And also spent way too many hours in the Chao Garden.
Oh my god, I wanted you to bring that up. I wish there was like another game that like was more focused on them because they were so much fun.
It was fun as like a little aside thing. I don't know if you could do it in a lot of the more recent ones. Probably the most recent one you probably could have done something like it with was Sonic Colors when you saved all the little aliens. And it's like, oh, well, can you go back to their little part of the planet that they live in and just hang out for a bit? But I think, honestly, the Chao Racing and the Chao Karate were just, like, straight up, like, 2 hours wasted out of my life.
I've never met another person who's played that game, actually. So I'm really happy that you're talking about this.
I don't know. I know a few people who have, because obviously my brother is older than me and a lot of his friends are gamers. A lot of mine aren't, aside from you guys, obviously. I had to get it in there. It's Christmas. You had to show the love. But from before that, like a lot of my friends were more just like, we want to go out to parties and we want to do like girly things. And I was not that person. I was like, nah, I want to play Dragon Ball Z Budokai and Sonic Adventure 2 and want to go exploring. And like that was just my life. Again, something we talked about in the previous podcast that I got a little bit too deep on. Robert can testify. He's not to say it. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love it.
yeah, that's kind of what it was like for me, because my mom was always like, you can either have a console for your birthday and get the games for Christmas, or you can get like something that's not games for your birthday and games for Christmas. So it's like trying to balance that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I even do that nowadays. The difference is it's so easy just to buy games online now that
I really
don't ask for games anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, so here in the United States, no.
Robert smiled at the camera, ironically, for anyone.
Ironically.
You see, there's hearts of melt out there.
I'm sorry, were you just singing NYC from the Tony-nominated and acclaimed musical Annie?
What?
That's what I heard. I don't know what you're saying.
Said, oh, say, can you see?
Oh.
He doesn't even know.
Right,
I know.
There's always musicals.
Anyway,
going on.
So back to topic. When the N64 came out, we got that. When I say we, I mean myself and my two brothers. I got the N64 for Christmas, and my mom, in her brilliance, thought, okay, so we'll get the one that comes with Pod Racing because controllers are cheaper than games.
Yep.
So we'll get the bundle with the game in it, and then we'll just buy two more controllers, right? Not thinking that Pod Racing was only a two-player game.
Yeah.
And there were three of us.
Fights. Many, many fights.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of parents don't quite get that at first.
Yeah, there were a lot of wars in the house that year. And then I also remember one year for Christmas, we got the first family computer. And this was before Windows 95 came out.
Okay.
Oh, DOS?
So, let's just...
Was it Windows DOS?
Yeah, so like this was back when you actually had to like type in the code to
That's how George R.R. Martin writes, apparently.
Well, George R.R. Martin...
writes everything on DOS.
He doesn't write.
You know what? I'm not going to get into that. I have comments, and we're not going to go there today. It's Christmas.
We should. We should have a book day where we can... wax lyrically about authors.
There's going to be two exclusively mentioned, and we'll move on from that very quickly. Robert, go on, please.
Season two. So like we had some weird racing game called Screecher, and it was cars racing through the streets, but you had to use a joystick, and it was really confusing, and I would always forget the code that you had to type in to get to the game. And then Windows 95 came around, and I'm like, oh, this is so much easier.
Yeah,
it was amazing. And yeah, those are the only two I can really remember. I can't remember if we got the Xbox for Christmas or if we all just pitched in and bought it.
I think whenever we got our Xboxes, well, it was 360, I think my brother's was a birthday present and mine was a Christmas present the next year for the exact same reason, which was I kept playing his.
See, it sounds nice to have your own console that you didn't have to share with two other people on a TV that was then shared with, you know, multitudes of people.
To be fair, at that point we were a bit older. He was, I think, 15, 16, so it was like he could get his own console. And then I was just young enough to go, but I want one too, and do kind of like puppy dog eyes to my dad, and he'd be like, no problem, I got a friend, don't you worry, darn.
I've got a friend. This sounds so dodgy.
See, a lot of my early consoles were like bought between me and my sister, who's older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And like at the start, it was very much shared. Like whenever we got a PS2 and we got a Wii, those were a lot more shared. Then she had got her own DS and I got my own DS.
Yeah, you can't share a DS.
Yeah, you can't share a DS. And then she never really played games after that until this March, when she was like, oh, Thomas, all my friends are getting Animal Crossing, but I don't want to buy a whole new Switch.
Oh.
Can I use your Switch? So she now steals my Switch on occasion and plays Animal Crossing on it.
How rude. For sure. My roommates do that to play Smash Bros, so it's fine. But that's life. That is life.
Speaking of, sorry, this is kind of a wee bit off topic, but just because you brought up Super Smash Brothers there, does anybody else, because I remember getting this for one Christmas, remember Mario Smash Football?
No.
I've never played it, but yeah.
Oh my god. That game was the funnest game, and we actually tried to play it again recently, and it still works. It's not a problem. It is the funniest game ever because there's no out, so you can't like kick it off for a throw-in. You kick the player into an electric wall. It's so fun. It's honestly one of the best Mario games that ever football. Exists.
That would make regular football so much more interesting.
I know.
Real football, Robert. Yeah, real football.
I might actually pay attention to a game.
Right. I mean, electric shock for anything makes things more interesting.
Yeah,
exactly.
Play a wrong note on the piano.
It's one way to learn.
Yeah, the state frowns upon it, but I find it to be very effective with my students.
I feel like we keep forgetting this is a Christmas podcast and just they're talking about abusing students.
But that's what I want for Christmas. Right. So any other game, any other wonderful Christmas memories from anybody?
Well, I would...
Adam, you've been quiet. Oh.
I occasionally would get games for Christmas, but I am always a big jigsaw puzzle person when it comes to Christmas. So I will have a full-on strop if I haven't received my jigsaw on Christmas Day. Because it happened one time, and now I have never let my parents forget that I should always get a jigsaw.
Oh, God.
You sound like a lot of fun.
My parents are just like, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, a jigsaw. Just want to sit on Christmas Day and watch really rubbish kids films on the TV and do my jigsaw. That's all I want to do on Christmas Day.
So what we're learning is Molly is a grandma.
Yes, 100%. I have the soul of a 93-year-old and I get so much stick at work for it.
Because all you talk to me about is like your cats,
yeah,
and tea.
Yeah.
And that's like the Snapchats I receive from you. It's like, oh, nice new tea I got from like I can't remember the one you sent me before, the wee shop in Coleraine.
Oh yeah.
They're
so good.
Which I actually ordered from and now I can't remember the name.
Infuse.
Shout that's out to what Infuse. It was. We love them. But
sponsor us.
They would probably love to sponsor honestly, us.
Yeah, that's honestly the only thing Molly ever sends me on Snapchat. It's like, here are my cats.
Here are my cats.
Here's my tea. Here's my takeout dinner that I got. And I'm yeah. like, you are just a grandma. You're yeah. not such a lovely wee granny.
This, look, 2020 is the year of doing indoor things, and I am all for it. So.
Have you taken up knitting?
I've been taking up knitting since I was in uni before, but I can only do scarves.
There it is, folks.
I can only do straight lines. You can't do anything more complex. But because my birthday's in September and a lot of big games tend to come out in early September, sort of in time for the Christmas rush, I tend to get them more for my birthday than I would do for Christmas. The only game I can really think of that I was like, oh my goodness, I've got this game for Christmas is Jak 2 on the PlayStation 2 back in the day. Good times. If anyone's played the Jak and Daxter series, no.
No.
The what?
The Jak and Daxter series.
Keith has a lot to say about that.
I talked about that.
I had a fun time mowing down people as soon as I got out of the prison.
Yeah, it was a great game. It was so good. I think the second game was great. And then the racing game came and ruined it. But that's just the nature of these things.
As is the way of old PS2 games.
Yeah,
sure. There's Sega Speed Racing as well, which was literally just the Sonic characters and like two other people. And it was like, what was the point?
Hey, they had the Shenmue person as well.
It's like the Crash Bandicoot Racing.
Yeah.
The Crash Bandicoot Racing was the thing back in the day.
But that was
like,
the thing.
I remember having it on a dual cartridge for the Game Boy Advanced SP, which came with Crash Bandicoot Racing and then. A Spyro game. And then I remember like how shocked I was whenever you could unlock Spyro in the Crash game. It just blew my mind because this was before any going on the internet and just like looking up, here's all the secrets of the game. It's just, you work it out yourself.
Yeah.
Before I introduce our guest who just walked in, can we all just talk about though, did anybody else remember Diddy Kong Racing?
Yes.
Because it was better than Mario Kart because you could fly.
Yeah.
Planes were an option. And that was
although
amazing.
I will say, because like obviously I was talking about the GameCube, I still think to this day one of the best Mario Kart games is Double Dash.
Yes!
Yes.
Because
100%.
literally just the swapping out. It was so fun to play with like four people, but you were only on two carts because you were like playing on the same thing. And it was like, you have to hold on to this shell. What are you doing? Like, hold it behind us. They're going to hit us with a red shell. I was like fighting with people. That was such a fun game.
I can't imagine trying to do that online.
Oh, God. Like,
with your partner being in a different room. That would be a disaster.
Yeah. It would be fun, though.
Anyway, just joining us now, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the one and only David Bennington.
Ooh.
Happy Christmas, David.
I call that an average welcome.
We have to not clap into the mic. We can't peek for it.
Yes, I was very like gentle on my clapping so that I didn't
yeah.
peek.
David, we're talking about game-related Christmas memories.
Oh.
What do you remember from your old age?
I have two game-related Christmas memories. Old age. I'm going to let that
Robert's
one pass.
Robert's just happy to have somebody else on, because every time he mentions a game, and we're like, the what now? He's like, thanks.
Because I just talked about how we got Windows 95, so I mean, like...
I want
Oh, wow.
One.
I remember Windows 95. Do you
You're
remember when you had to...
When
the power button on your computer was latching and not momentary, and Windows came up with, it is now safe to turn off your computer in this, like... very comforting orange colored text in the black background, and you had to physically turn your computer off.
Yes, it was so wonderful.
You're so old.
I mean, you're not wrong, but you know, it could be nicer.
Back when the monitor weighed like 30 pounds because there was a whole back part to it.
And was like the whole depth of your desk.
Glass.
Yeah.
I had a very fancy one that had flat glass as well. I stole it from somewhere.
Look at you.
But that was all after my very first Christmas game related memory. And I think this is going to make me sound older than I really am.
Yeah.
This is going to make me sound older than I am, but it was also the year that we got our first color television in the bedroom, the gaming room. Now that sounds bad, but like we didn't have
I
much money growing up, so the color TV was downstairs.
You had a gaming room though.
Well, it's complicated.
Okay.
Priorities.
Yeah. And so this was like, you know, we don't really usually get a white Christmas very often.
Yes.
But this particular year we had somehow my mother had saved up the money to buy myself and my brother a Super Nintendo.
Nice.
And we were playing What were we playing? I think it was Mario All-Stars. I want to say Mario All-Stars. And so we got this
Is
for Christmas
the
morning.
Baseball that
was brilliant.
Game?
We unpacked it. Yeah, and then we looked out the window and it was snowing.
Oh.
And it was a white Christmas.
Magic of Mario.
I know.
Oh. What a lovely touching story.
I harassed my poor mother for hours outside in the cold. Bless. Yeah.
I think if you didn't have, like, the couple of years that we did have white Christmases, I feel like if there wasn't a picture, I might put this in just because I find it hilarious. If there wasn't a picture of you wrapped up in the house, in your pajamas, jumper, dressing gown, pair of gloves, hat, your feet, you were in a basin of hot water because you were that cold. Holding a bowl of Ready Breck. I don't think you did it.
Oh,
right.
Ready Breck! Wow, did you put extra sugar on your Ready Breck?
Who
like any sensible person
put
does.
Extra sugar on the Ready Breck.
And do you eat like the skinny parts as well, or on the edge that get like this lovely skin? And then,
oh, definitely not. You've lost me.
I don't know what this is.
It's porridge.
It's
porridge.
What is
this
episode? It's baby porridge.
So you're American, so you love it because it has more sugar than like anything else on the planet.
Ooh.
He's not wrong.
Yeah.
Our food's disgusting.
Is porridge not oatmeal or something in America? Is porridge oatmeal? Are they the same thing?
Not quite. I feel like porridge is a little bit more runny.
not like the way I make it.
Maybe that's the same. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I mean,
I don't eat
describing breakfast as both runny and lumpy is not appetizing. Either which way.
Do you ever like get Weetabix, but you only put enough milk in to make the bottom half soggy and the top half crispy, so you still get texture when you eat it?
Can I tell you something even worse? My dad, I've noticed this the last couple of mornings. He has Weetabix and then he puts Alpen on top of it and then fruit, which is fine. You can have as much as you want in your Weetabix. That's the whole point. He'll then put the milk in and then go and take like his vitamins and then have a Benacol the yogurt drink and then eat his Weetabix. And it's like, that is mush.
Weetabix, please sponsor us.
Yes.
I have two Christmas hacks for Weetabix. One of them I think everyone knows, which is, you know, you do that and then you microwave it and then you've got like fake porridge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My granddad does that. To,
like, deal with all the mess. The second is something I've started doing recently because we read an article about how spices are good for you, and it's to shake a little cinnamon on the top of your Weetabix. Yep.
Okay.
And that's Christmas Weetabix.
I could see that. That sounds good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I saw a really disturbing picture on Facebook the other week.
It was on a page,
Rate My Plate. And if you know Rate My Plate, you probably know the caliber of what I'm about to say.
I'm worried.
And I'm going to delete that picture.
What they said it was biscuits with butter and Marmite, but the biscuit was a dry Weetabix spread with butter. And Marmite.
Oh no.
It's so good. See what's funny? Do you know the ads now? And it's like the plain Weetabix and they're putting jam on it. It's like, that's just Audibix. I'm like, yeah, it is. That's the whole point.
It's gross.
For those of you listening who don't live in the United Kingdom or Ireland, Weetabix is a thing.
It's the food of gods.
It's kind of like shredded wheat, but worse.
Shredded wheat is disgusting. The
brilliant thing about Weetabix, right?
I like both. So.
It's great. This is Weetabix is a breakfast for men because you can have Weetabix the same way every single day of your life and not have to think about it. You don't have to worry about what goes on it. You don't have to decide what you want for breakfast that morning. You don't have to go to any extra special preparation for it. You put the biscuits in, you put the milk in, you wait for the kettle to boil and you eat your Weetabix. And that's just nice, easy, quick routine which requires no thinking or prep. It is like big brain play,
and it's also really easy just to get the same amount every day because it's just two biscuits.
My other half,
that's approximately the same amount.
My other half has four breakfast. He'll have
four is a multiple of two, so that is okay,
but it's no, you have two.
I love how this is a video game podcast, but we're talking about Weetabix.
Well,
so let's talk about Weetabix.
Okay, I'm going to mute all of you here in a minute.
It's time for another hat change, I feel, Keith.
Yeah, Keith, switch your hat.
Before we go
while
to
Keith is switching his
hat. Before we go to Adam, Keith can switch his hat.
Oh, wow.
Hello. This is
beautiful.
Oh, wow. Hello.
Gobble, gobble.
His dangly bits is poking my eye.
What's his name?
Oh, God. I just call him Cock.
Oh, fuck.
I think we should give him the honorary name of Teabag.
Please, sir. Please. No more.
This is going on the intro.
Okay, that's too far.
Keith, that out of your mouth.
Happy Christmas, one and all.
On tonight's program. Oh, Lord. All right, Adam, what do you got for us?
It's not one memory per se, but a series. Sort of like with Molly with the jigsaws. Every year, I always get the new Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
And I play them for like 12 hours, and my whole family hates me.
My family hates me too for sitting doing a jigsaw and taking the table up all day when they're trying to do stuff.
They want to do things on Christmas, and we just end up murdering things for all day.
See, similar to Molly's jigsaw taking up the whole table, mine was always a big Lego set, and it took up the kitchen table for like 3 days, and it was wonderful.
We had an old kitchen table in the basement for that very reason, because if we had
We uncovered our dining room table for the Christmas period, so it was great because then we could use that while we used the one in the while I used the one in the kitchen as the Lego building table.
Mm. So enough about our past. Let's talk about the future. So games. What's coming up? What's coming out? We understand that this podcast is coming out after pretty much all of these games are already out and you've already played them and you have already beaten them and gotten over them, but we're going to talk about them anyway. So let's discuss what's coming up this Christmas season.
I think there's only one game that I am excited about, that I care about and will play, and that is Cyberpunk 2077. That is the only game.
That's good.
Really?
Yep.
Are you not overhyped?
No, I don't care. Yeah, Keanu Reeves.
I'm in the camp of I've seen it hyped too much, and I just know that I don't know if it can live up to the hype that it has built.
See, this is where
Is built to such a high level.
I think this is where I have a benefit over everybody, because the last thing I actually seen about it was the reveal where Keanu Reeves came out at stage on stage at E3, and then I saw them saying, yeah, it's delayed. So I have seen nothing else except that. So I've been just hyping myself. Like, I've nothing else to base it on. So the only person I'm letting down is going to be myself. But that game looks like, if the in-game graphics are anything like that rendered, then we are in for a treat, because that game looks good.
What platform, dare I ask?
Is this controversial? Xbox?
Which Xbox?
Really?
Well,
yes, you have to ask that question now with Xbox, don't you?
This is where we get back into Lisa gets her game consoles like a year too late compared to everybody. I'm still on the first Xbox One, essentially. I don't have a 1X. I don't have the 1S. I don't have any of that. I just have bog standard first old Xbox sitting over there. I've just turned my video over to show everybody sitting there. that's basically how my life works. It's like, if it ain't broke, I'm not getting a new one. I'll continue to use it until it doesn't work anymore.
That's a very, very sensible way to go.
Yeah, which is why my phone only costs me £7 a month.
And I think a lot of game developers sort of forget that, or at least they want to give the image of we're always using the latest and greatest stuff, and it's like, you know, there's only going to be so many consoles about at launch day. There's only like 3 3080s out in the whole world if you're a PC gamer. You know, we seem to have lost the let's make things run really well on older stuff, because that's also still good.
I think there's a good example of that being that too. I think there's a good example of that being in The Legend of Zelda, which is they did Wind Waker. And then they did Twilight Princess. They did release it on GameCube, but the whole point was to play it on the Wii.
I feel like I was the only person who actually played it on GameCube, and that was because Yeah, I played it because I'm left-handed, so playing it on the Wii would have been incredibly awkward, because they flipped the whole game for right-handed people on the Wii. So I was like, I don't have a Wii. If I got one, it's just going to be really cumbersome for me to try and like be opposites with my hands, so I was like, no, I'm just going to play it on GameCube. And I had a much better time, although reading guides online was very confusing, because you had to do the opposite, because everyone was writing up Wii guides for for Twilight Princess, and I was like,
you probably should have gotten the book, the Prima guides book for it, because they actually had both of them, the maps, they had the map and the flipped map on the same page.
Oh,
see, that would have been good, but I mean, at the time I could literally only afford the game, so I was just like, I'm just gonna play this.
But yes, that's the only game I'm currently excited for, mainly because I haven't seen a lot of adverts for any other games recently except for games,
but I provided a link.
Except for games that I've kind of already played, like they've started to hype up the next DLC for Elder Scrolls Online. Haven't even played through the last one, so I'm not gonna get it yet. But that's really the only game that I've seen
since. I'm surprised that you aren't excited about Age of Calamity, Lisa.
Well, yes, but I've done the opposite with Cyberpunk, which is I've actively avoided anything else for Age of Calamity, because I don't want to see it, because I did that with Breath of the Wild, and it was like blow your mind out of the water good, because I had no expectations, as Robert was saying, back in episode 4.
Well, in that case, you're going to want to mute this for a couple of minutes, because that's what we're talking about next.
Yeah.
I really am debating it, to be honest.
Well, I mean, I've only watched the one trailer at this point. But
how many times?
Honestly, only once.
Really?
Only once, and only in preparation for this podcast.
Have you...
I heard it was coming out, but I hadn't watched it, and I haven't really played Hyrule Warriors, the other, the first one. So
I didn't even know it was a thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is fun. It's a strange system for a Zelda game if you're not used to it, but it actually is a lot of fun. I played it on 3DS rather than on console, and I actually think that was kind of the prime way to play it because it's kind of built for that system to work that way. I actually really enjoyed it, but that's why I've kind of avoided this one, because I'm like, I know what Hyrule Warriors is, I know what Breath of the Wild is, so I don't want to see the two of them together until I have it in my hands, because I'm not sure how it's going to work.
I get that.
I mean, yeah, I guess, I mean, it looks like it's supposed to be kind of like the prequel to Breath of the Wild before Calamity Ganon comes in and, you know, sorry, spoilers, I think. Kind of? No, I don't know.
No, I don't think it
before
can.
Calamity Ganon, like, rolls in. It's like the war that starts before that, from what I can tell. But then, knowing the storyline and knowing what happens in Breath of the Wild, how do you win?
Yeah.
Yeah, like Breath of the Wild is this one big spoiler for it. It's like, well, I know what happens.
Well, I love that.
Don't get too comfy with your friends.
Isn't that exciting? It's like the first time you're playing knowing you won't win. And it's like all these, you know, you're still learning stuff like about the story and the characters along the way. Mm-hmm. You learn more about the champions. And you're like, I love the idea of the runes that we've explored in Breath of the Wild, like, are now, like, you know, we're going to see that pre-Calamity.
But I just want pre-Breath of the Wild. I don't want Hyrule Warriors. I want another Zelda title.
But they're doing Breath of the Wild too.
But that's post-Breath of the Wild. I want to go to the castle. I want to see Hyrule Field and all of its pre-war glory.
I'm going to be honest with you, Robert. I think in Breath of the Wild 2, you probably will get to go to the castle, just this time it's in the sky. So, can you wait?
Why is it in the sky?
Did you not... Have I just, like, spoiled the E3 trailer for that for you?
I don't really care about spoilers, but now I know I'm watching after this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does anybody...
E3 happened.
I want to go back to... this is like the first teaser that came out for it, is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I want to go back to one of Shireen's points, though, which was... It's like one of the first games where, like, you kind of know how it's going to end before you get there. I don't... Somebody else maybe does. I don't think I've ever played another game like that or know of another game like that.
Possibly, maybe... Well, I guess any... Eco or, like... Shadow of the Colossus, possibly, because Shadow of the Colossus was like a prequel to Ico. So you already, you know, you don't realize how connected they are until you sort of play through the game, especially towards the end. But just knowing the kinds of games that they make, you know that it's not going to be the happiest ending.
Yeah.
So, but that's the only sort of game I can think off the top of my head that you have an expectation that things will not turn out well.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Red Dead and Red Dead 2. Red Dead 2 being the prequel to Red Dead, yes, where you play as a guy who isn't even mentioned in the first game. So you're like, ah, yes, this is going to end for you, Mr. Arthur. And then it ends very well, and I didn't cry. I cried a lot. And then just even then, the epilogue after that, spoilers for, well, like, a two-year-old game now.
Yeah.
You play as John, and he, like, the way that ends, it sort of ends on a hopeful note in that game, but then you sort of add on what's happened in, you know, the original Red Dead, and you're like, oh no, John, my precious boy, please no. And then you cry some more.
We're also missing out, and this is me going to be showing my personal gaming habits here, but we're missing out Crisis Core from Final Fantasy.
Oh, is there a new thing for that happening? I'm really behind on my Final Fantasy news, sadly.
Oh no! This is ages ago. This was the prequel almost to Final Fantasy VII, where you were Zack.
Yeah, I played it back in the day, but
you went about. Yeah, but like you already knew what was going to happen. Like,
100%, yeah.
Globally, but you didn't know what the game was going to do. It's like you knew the story, but not the events of the game. Kind of, it's a way of like being a spoiler, but not really a spoiler. It's like, you know, it's going to happen, but
it's also heart wrenching as well, because they do it in the super amazing graphics and you're just sobbing into your PlayStation. Like, you're just like, and it was PSP, wasn't it? So you're just like in your bedroom. I'm like 13. I'm like, So sad.
Oh, that's a pretty good thing. What was the saddest video game anyone's ever played?
That's not on
it's
topic.
It's not a Christmas theme.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Season two. You can join.
Another video game series where you sort of know where it's going to happen before you play it is the Halo ones. Because obviously in Halo 3, it's only Master Chief. Then when Reach came out,
How did that? And you know what's even worse about that? ODST also does that. And that's one of my favorite Halo games. And how did I not remember that?
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
I'm kind of sitting here like, I've played so many hours in that game. And how does it's just been so long since I think I've played it through that I just didn't remember.
See, because I never had an Xbox.
Good man.
My, like...
David, I'll fight you.
Apart from, like, playing, like, Halo, like, online at a friend's house or something, like, if they've had it, like, split screen. My first experience of playing the campaign was whenever they released the Master Chief Collection on Steam.
Yeah.
But then they released it in the order of Reach, then 1, 2, 3, and so on.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I think they're now up to ODST. I think 4 might be coming at some stage.
I have a problem with the Master Chief Collection, and that's that I cannot play on modern graphic settings. I have to play on original Xbox ones because it just looks so much better.
Yeah.
Fair.
I don't know why. It's awful. It's awful, but it's so good authentic at the same time.
It's authentic.
Yeah.
Nostalgic.
Yeah. I mean, say, so I know I just sort of crapped over Xbox a wee bit there, but true story, I bought an Xbox solely to play FIFA 16 because it ran smoother on the Xbox than it did the PlayStation.
Why for that game though?
Because it was smoother.
No.
it was just less jaggy, and like, so that's kind of important.
Were you here for
Mario?
Were you here for the Mario Smash David loves smooth balls.
No, he wasn't here for that part.
Happy Christmas.
Okay, so back to topic, because we're talking about things that are coming out right now. Has anyone else seen the trailer for Everwild?
No.
Yes.
No.
What is Everwild?
What is?
I have no idea. I have no idea. There's like very little out about it, but the trailer looks so pretty.
That's like the opposite of Bugsnax.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is a game I'm looking forward to.
Where nobody has any clue what it's about, and it looks... questionable.
Yeah, no, this one just looks amazing. I have no idea what it's about at this point, but
so I'm doing a cheeky Google and it kind of looks like cel shaded almost, like a mixture between cel shading and Breath of the Wild.
Yes, but also just like
it's rare.
Yeah, it's a rare
game. It's definitely getting bought. 100%.
Look, it just looks incredible. But I have no idea, like, what it is. It's a multiplayer game.
It's multiplayer?
Maybe not.
That's what VentureBeat.com is telling me from July.
I wonder if it's going to be something similar to the likes of Apex Legends or something. I mean, I know nothing about it, but maybe they're trying to join into that kind of MMO kind of area.
It's some kind of fantasy-based sandbox online game.
Oh.
So, did anybody play Sea of Thieves?
Yes.
Yes, I've started playing that recently.
It's supposed to be kind of like that.
I like Sea of Thieves.
So they're just making the same game?
Do I need another Sea of Thieves to waste hours in? Probably not.
Yeah, but it looks like that's what it basically is. Hey, Keith, talk to us about Watch Dogs Legion.
Watch Dogs Legion is a game by Ubisoft, and we're not going to talk about that company too much, but we'll talk about the game, and it is one of the ones, I wasn't looking forward to it at all. I've played all of the Watch Dogs games, and like the first one, that was the one like basically started the whole thing about downgrading, because I don't know if you remember that like the big E3 trailer, and it looked incredible. It was like, this was... you know, this is how PS4 games and, you know, Xbox One games are going to look. This is the next gen. And then it just looked like how it looked. It just
oh, yeah, I do remember now.
That's very diplomatic.
The trailer.
And then Watch Dogs 2 came out and it was very fun. And it was, like, massive improvement over the first one. They've basically taken everything that didn't work from the first one, made it better, and just made the whole thing good. And then the third one was announced, and... it has this play-as-anyone gimmick, which The whole idea is that you can go up to anyone on the street, you know, go up to them and say, "Ooh, what do you want me to do? How can I get you into my wee hacker group?" And then you do like favors for them and they basically join the group and then you can play as them. And I was sitting there thinking, okay, that looks, you know, cool as a gimmick, but like, is the rest of the game going to be good? Because like, if you're able to play as everyone, there's obviously not going to be a main character. So
yeah,
the story's probably not going to be great. But then just recently, which is at the time of recording around like mid-October, so not Christmas time. Spoilers? I don't know. behind the scene trivia. They allowed a bunch of like YouTubers to just dick around in the game, basically.
Yeah.
And which is always, I always really enjoy that, because it's basically, it's the company saying, okay, we have confidence in this game for you to just do anything you want in it. Go have fun. And that just basically sold me on the whole play as anyone gimmick. And it's sort of like, okay, even if the story isn't great, I'm just going to have fun with this. And I've already made my plan that I'm just going to have an army of old ladies and we're going to take over London. And perfect. It's going to be marvellous.
Hire Molly. Because you're a wee granny.
Oh, yeah.
You just reminded me, Keith, actually, there of saying about like, oh, you can play this game any way you want, of another Christmas memory. Going back. Ooh. Whenever I got my PlayStation 2, I'm not going to say how old I am, but by what console was I when I was
no
born?
Shame.
I know. But I got
you got a Super Nintendo. We're way past.
Oh, that. Yeah. I might have some older ones. So I got up with two games and then I bought myself one like straight away after. So I got bought myself Final Fantasy X, which I still think is like probably one of the best looking games on the PlayStation 2 ever.
Oh, 100%.
Resident Evil Code Veronica X and Red Faction. And Red Faction, I remember distinctly spending that particular Christmas running around with a rocket launcher, being like, hey, I can just like, go around this world. For the three places where you actually could make your own terrain and it was genuinely useful, it was like, oh, this is so cool. I can blow a hole in any wall I want, wherever I want.
Yeah.
But what were you doing in the game?
Happy Christmas, everyone.
I could not think of a legit way to respond to you. Literally speechless. But yeah, it was the same kind of thing. It's like games that have an element of not kind of like sandboxing, but like just freestyling towards the right kind of thing, but not in a crappy Final Fantasy 15 way.
I mean, Final Fantasy 15 has its merits.
David, I feel like you always come into these podcasts and just want to fight me, because you did this in the last episode you were in where we nearly came to blows about the Final Fantasy games. And I was ready to throw down, and I will throw down now. I don't care if it's a Christmas episode.
That's funny.
I will say the second and third playthrough of Final Fantasy 15 gets better and better. However, the experience of the first one with no introduction to the story or watching Kingsglaive or anything was disappointing.
I don't think Kingsglaive really helps you understand what actually happens in Final Fantasy 15, because they had a different idea of what the story was going to be when they started making Kingsglaive, and because the game was under such pressure when it was being made. Also, I'm a giant Final Fantasy fan. They changed so much in the game through development, and even the last couple of years they cut out so much that even if you were up to date and reading all the stuff that was happening, I still like had little clue that was happening even after playing the DLCs.
Yeah.
Oh.
So...
Well, I did not realize that it was so changing then, because I did it the other way. I played the game and then I was like, okay, maybe I should figure out what this is all about because I'm a little bit confused. And then I really, really enjoyed Kingsglaive. It certainly clarified an awful lot of what I had seen in the game. And I'm only 1.5 DLCs through because I'm really lazy. And
same.
I'm so bad. Episode Gladio, though, that was phenomenal. I really enjoyed the control. The control was so much better, I thought, than like, the combat seemed much better thought out than Vanilla 15.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I kind of got burnt out with Final Fantasy 15 by the time Episode Arden came out, because it was like a year after Prompto, the Ignis and Gladio one had come out, and also the really random Assassin's Creed DLC that came out.
Oh, yeah.
That was a thing where you got to go to a festival.
Really?
A festival, yeah, that was like Assassin's Creed themed. Yeah.
Did you find the Final Fantasy Easter egg in Origins?
Yes, and actually it was one of the best swords I owned in the game.
It was a really good sword.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, Shireen, you've got a list of games that you're excited about. Pick two.
Okay. We're going to do something. Okay. I want to send this link to everyone in the type chat.
Oh, this
and we're going to watch it together, and the world is going to see our live reactions to the most anticipated game on the planet. The music will be playing as well underneath. Watch out,
if this isn't Harry Potter, I'm going to be so upset.
Thank you for giving me so much work.
So just click that link, everyone, and tell me how you feel.
5 minutes.
All I heard from that was Lisa, here's more work for you today.
5 minutes.
Oh, here we go. Okay, let's open this up and see what happens.
Jeez, this is actually 5 minutes. The Lukus make too much noise.
Oh god, it's very so loud.
So loud.
Amateurs don't have your volume turned down.
Is this?
Oh, this looks like a mobile game.
That definitely
it's
is.
It's not.
It's on Switch.
Oh, bugger this.
Oh.
It looks like Puzzlecraft, but Christmas.
This is a mobile game.
I remember that was an
1, 2, 3 presents. That's like Angry Birds.
Yeah, I remember that was an issue with very early, like, Switch was the eShop became, like, mobileware.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Oh, look, you did the path. Yay, Santa.
Look at the shape of him.
Very square.
Actually, can we just say how much Santa looks like, Keith?
Wait, hold on.
It does.
I've got a hat for that.
Oh, yes, it's a hat.
It's the eyes that are, like, friendly, but the eyebrows that are sort of suggestively up, and one of them's half-closed, suggesting a state of intoxication that is unique only to Keith.
Yep. You have personal experience of that, David.
I may indeed.
Oh, look, he's about to get three presents.
Yes.
Should be your cosplay for...
Can we talk about how this... I just want to make a couple of observations on this link.
If there's not 365 games, then that's bad.
Well, I was going to say, this trailer has been out since August 21st has 791 views. That's it.
And that's 790 views too many.
I kind of feel like that.
We've just added 8.
I mean, I kind of feel really bad because this would be the kind of thing as from a programmer. It's like it's simple enough to do. It'd be fun. It'd be a nice project. You can complete it. You don't need like AAA funding to do.
True.
But from a, would I ever play this game?
Probably not.
It's kind of like a.
Oh, but like, would I give this game to my 5-year-old to play on my Switch?
Yeah. Absolutely. 110%.
Like, but it's just a ripoff of Pipe Dream, and Pipe Dream's just the best game ever.
Yeah, I do.
This is
definitely. That's it has a market. Difficult. It has a market. It has a market. The market is young.
Answering.
Yeah. I was gonna say. I feel like this isn't the reaction Shireen wanted from us, and it's totally backfiring on her. And that's because she's a terrible person.
No, see, I'm thinking this. Back to. When she did that song from Paper Mario
don't
Origami
that
King.
One, you idiot.
And she was just like, oh my god, like this song from Paper Mario the Origami King, it's so atmospheric and it's so cool. And it was just
and
silence.
And we're all sitting there waiting for the jump.
And at the end, she just goes, nah, nothing's gonna happen. And I was legitimately upset. I feel like we're getting this again. And that last seems to indicate that I might be right.
Yes, because I've skipped ahead.
What's
the deal?
I've just stopped watching it now.
What's the deal with the icebergs? Like, why are they even there if you can move things on and off them? Like, there's literally no point.
Why are you still watching it?
Am I supposed to stop?
I'm entranced. Yeah.
30 moves. You could have done
that.
Don't
give Shireen
six.
The satisfaction.
I'm invested now.
Wait, well, sorry,
some of us love to give Shireen satisfaction. Sorry, is that rude?
Wow.
Hello. I like how
hello,
they just
had a everyone.
I like how they just had a save thing come up in it, which means that they've just like recorded them playing the game and that's it. Like,
could you imagine what like the actual like a cinematic trailer to this game would look like?
I tried to find it. I couldn't find it.
The tale of one man and his bulging sack.
Wow.
Ho ho ho.
See, the thing is, regardless
of
whether...
Hang on a sec. Game changer. Game changer. You can move the tiles while Santa's on them.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Game changer.
Hold on. Have you guys seen the other games that they have? They released one a video a month ago called Waifu Uncovered.
Uh-oh.
Okay, now I'm interested.
That's worth a click.
Are we sure this isn't Shireen just making games in her spare time? Like,
oh yeah, that's their most recent upload.
Oh, this video may be inappropriate for some users.
Oh, that's okay.
We need to start to put an age rating on this podcast.
Well,
it's all right. This
Shireen so far.
Oh God,
Shireen's.
Yeah. Why did I click?
So far, the only person I've had to bleep is Shireen. So.
Oh no!
Why did I click that?
I don't think I want
to
click this.
I'm not even going near it.
I'm pretending to be shocked, but I'm going to watch this all the time.
There's an uncensored
Happy
version.
Happy Christmas, everybody!
Oh, wow. Santa's okay, this is not what I expected.
Robert's face is the best, I think, of all this.
Yeah.
This is not the kind of game I was expecting. This actually...
Uncensored unlock system, Jesus.
No,
it is very not what you expect.
What?
This could genuinely bring back like in-person real life arcade gaming. Oh geez.
Can I just read the description?
I'm multiplayer. I'm really glad I'm not watching it just to get the responses so with no context.
Can I just read the description of it?
There's a review video.
Oh no. Destroy the clothes, save the waifus, 8 beautiful maidens under threat of alien attack, their lives and the fate of the world now rest in your hands.
Nice.
It sounds like a self-published book.
Oh goodness, okay. The clothes really do come off. This is not suitable for a Christmas present for children.
Okay, just because...
I'm getting this for my sister.
I don't really want this to go any further. Can everyone stop watching it and let's move on?
So,
other games.
Through gameplay.
Shireen,
I'm getting
do
this.
You have anything else aside from trolling us that you wanted to ask?
No, you're like, don't ask her. Shireen's not allowed to give us any
Give us more waifu games, never. Shireen.
I'm surprised, honestly... that
Santa
none of
waifu
you have mentioned
adventure.
Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man game coming out soon.
I was waiting for someone to talk about it.
I was like, why has no one mentioned new Spider-Man?
Spider-Cat! You mention it, Molly. Go for it.
Yeah, I'm so excited because obviously I loved Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I think it is the best Spider-Man film ever made.
It's a great Spider-Man film.
So I think the fact that they're giving Miles an opportunity to be his own character because I think before Into the Spider-Verse came out, no one really knew much about Miles Morales unless they'd actually read the comics. I only sort of knew that there was a Hispanic black version of Spider-Man just when it first was announced back in the mid-90s. It was a thing that people talked about, and then after that was never mentioned. So I think it'll be really interesting, especially following the plot of the previous game, to give Miles his own chance to kind of show his skill set. So I think it looks really cool. And even though I think it was a DLC made into a full game, so I think maybe the price point for that, because they're charging the same amount as a normal game, but it's obviously going to be considerably shorter, you know. But I understand it's going to be a PS5 release, but I'll still be playing on PS4 because I think I heard the PS5 is the biggest console that's been ever made ever in the history of consoles.
Yeah, it's massive.
And I don't have room for that in my house. So
yeah.
Just gonna stick to what I have for now.
That's literally Xbox's one point over them at the minute, is look how small our Xbox One S is. Like, they're kind of like, that's their selling point. And it's like, I mean, you do better.
Look how easily your eye just glosses over the fact that you have a strange black box in the corner of your room. Oh, it's not there. Nah. So there's two things about Spider-Man that I think are going to make it a great game. Number one is, like, the story is, like, bang on Final Fantasy VII.
I mean, are you talking about original VII or Remake VII? Right, because Remake VII was an interesting experience.
Well, but just the general kind of overarching, if I'm thinking of the right Spider-Man game, it's the one where there's, like, the evil energy company. Yeah, is that the right game? Yeah. Or am I thinking of a different one?
The Miles Morales
one. Awesome. Yeah, okay, so, like, so the story, like, you know that that's the kind of story that's been explored before, and that's going to be pretty cool. And the second thing that makes me think it's going to be a really, really good game to play is that in the very, very first PlayStation 5 sort of spec leak and performance leak that I ever saw, Spider-Man was the game that they used to show the difference between loading times between the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 5 and how they'd be able to do stream loading. And that was the franchise that they used to demonstrate things. So I think they've been working with it for a very long time. At least I have a suspicion.
There's actually, see, on that loading thing, there's some GIFs going around at the minute of, like, I don't know if you've played the first Spider-Man, David, but there's, like...
So I played the first Spider-Man, but not the one you think about.
Okay, well...
The PlayStation 1. The PlayStation 1 was the Stan Lee cover. Stan Lee was the narrator in the original one. It was great.
That was a brilliant one. But they've got, like, GIFs going around of, like, loading out from a wee warehouse fight arena area in the first game. And it takes, you know, like, 30 seconds to load up into the open world. And, you know, like, okay, that's grand. Then they go to the new gameplay that's being shown from the Miles Morales game. And you just go out a window and you're straight into the main world. Like, just no loading at all. It's just,
Yes. It's bring so, it. Absolutely bring very happy. Loading times are, like, the death. I cannot stand games that take a million years to load.
See, one of the games I play the most is GTA 5.
Yeah.
So I know loading times.
See, in fairness, so I'm okay with games.
The only other game I can offer is Sonic 06.
See, I'm okay with games loading, like, have a massive loading time at the start. Like, you know, GTA 5, like, it takes a long time to load into the world. And then you've got pretty much no load times once you're actually in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, once, like, the one massive one to get everything started up, basically, I'm happy with. I'm trying to think of a blow your load joke, but I can't get it, so.
Wow. You know what's amazing? You can tell when
maybe
Keith
change
starts
hat,
to
see what happens.
When Keith starts to think about things like this, because all of a sudden it's like a hesitation, and you see that look up into the distance, and it's like in Scrubs when JD looked up into the distance, and it's like having that monologue in his head going, will this one work?
I know, there's just a skit going in his brain.
That's to give you time to reach for the bleep.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's just in case we ever do this live and, like, stream it, it's like bleep right there for, like, a minute.
I remember one of the worst games that I had for, like, loading times, like, between games and stuff, was Battlefield 4 on the PC.
Okay.
Because for some reason, they decided that whenever you launched the game on Origin, which is an awful launcher in and of itself, it opens a Google Chrome tab, or whatever your preferred web browser is, and then you launch into games from there, but it means your loading time into the map is so much longer because none of the game is loaded.
I sit down to play games, not to, like, wait.
Yes, they did rectify it. Like, when Battlefield 1 came out, they then, like, merged Battlefield 4 into that launcher, so then it actually sort of opened the game a bit initially, so then the load times into the games were shorter.
I once find, though, like, with games like The Witcher, where there's a big load time at the start, so that's time to, like, get a cup of tea, you know, hot water bottle, and really just sort of, like, get settled in.
You need a hot water bottle to play The Witcher. I think, like, that's the last thing I need to play The Witcher. I need, like, an ice pack. You, like, cool down.
Okay. Also, on the point that was made earlier of DLCs into games, an upcoming game, although release date not yet known, is Hollow Knight Silksong.
Yes.
Which, because I remember, like, in the, like, fan base, it was, like, Team Cherry, the developers, were like, oh, we're going to have an announcement on the 14th of February here. And everyone was like, oh, they're finally going to do the Hornet DLC. Like, they're going to add it that you can play as Hornet. And then they were just like, okay, here's this trailer. And it was just a full-blown game that, like, outscales the original game, like, massively, from what I've seen.
It looks good.
I'm so looking forward to it. And soundtrack.
We will be covering that, hopefully. I don't know if I'll arrange it.
In the future. In the future. Alrighty, so we are running out of time, so I'm going to ask for one more comment from Adam, because he's been quiet over there in the corner.
Hi.
Adam, what you got?
But coming up, it's Valhalla for me. It's like so much fun to go around raiding. I feel like I'm going to get Black Flag flashbacks. Also, apparently they've got rid of side quests.
Oh,
like traditional side quests.
No nice. Way.
Yeah, they're doing a whole Good. Different side quest system, where so you don't like run around in the new area with like 10 million people being like, hi, I need you to pick up my washing, you know, like,
oh, thank God.
No, I was watching a video about this earlier. They're doing side quests different, so you're not like grinding in areas, and it looks like so much fun.
You know what, that actually makes me want to go and play it now. I had no real interest in going into another Assassin's Creed game. Like, I haven't played Odyssey at all for that exact reason.
I loved
might
Odyssey.
Look into that
Odyssey
now.
Was great, but yeah, the side quests.
Have a look at it. I find this on YouTube. There's a video that explains about it. It looks really interesting.
Yes. Send me the link. I will watch that tonight.
I'll have a look for it. I'll send it.
Excellent. Well, we are at that time. So, for more opinions on all of this and much more, always come back and tune in. From all of us at the Irish Video Game Orchestra, we wish you and yours a very happy Christmas. And everyone, let's go ahead and say goodnight. Goodnight.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
I'll look at my camera.